You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley Davidson North. Kansas City's biggest selection of brand new 2021 Harleys are here now at I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Mitch just recently had his disc worked on, and we're hopeful for him to return to training camp, and the same thing with Fish. So we're hopeful both these guys will, you know, complete the rehab and be available for training camp and to start the 2021 season.
Now I can kind of not think about the business side of baseball and just really focus on winning and having fun and doing whatever I can to help that team win.
When we played them the first time, we were not connected. When we played them tonight, that was a very connected team out there. On both ends, but primarily defensively. We weren't good tonight defensively. We were terrific.
Even Superman has kryptonite, and I guess COVID protocols is ours.
And now, with nothing at all to talk about, a completely blank canvas, Seren Petro.
That's right. Nothing at all. Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I guess we'll pick whatever show we're streaming on Netflix and break it down.
Why not? Let's do it.
Sorry. It's texting. I was texting. Never text and drive. Never text and host. Okay? Just something to keep in mind. You can't keep... it was show-related, though. It was about a future guest, so just FYI.
Yeah.
Getting it done. Just getting things done. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall with you on what's turned into a pretty nice little Monday here for everybody. I hope you had a chance to get outside and enjoy the sunshine at some point today. If not, do so when you get home. Got a nice week of weather coming your way and a lot going on in the Kansas City sports scene, as Curtis said. Brett Veach meeting with the media today, kind of discussing their off-season plans. I think we're probably going to begin with that, aren't we? Or is it Hunter Dozier signing on for 4 years and $25 million with a fifth-year option of $10 million on the back end of it? Is that where we begin? Or does undefeated Baylor, the number two team in the country, being beaten by the Kansas Jayhawks, does that kind of whet your appetite? Is it J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals? What do you think? What's your vote on what the big dog is?
I think it is Bill Drew saying that Eric Dozier is the Chiefs' kryptonite for at left tackle. Or I'm trying to combine everything together. And
yeah,
I think failed miserably.
I had it in your effort was excellent. I had it in my head. I was like, this is going to be wonderful. And then the word started coming out, and I realized about. Oh, two words in. This is going to be not as good as I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, and, at least you pressed on, though.
Yes, at least I continued on down that road because I thought, well, I'll right the ship. And it never happened.
No, it didn't. That it didn't. By the way, I'd like to apologize to Bob, who I, should he be listening, which I don't know that he is. That was meant for Jed. So if you're listening... I apologize, Jed. There you go. what I was sending. I sent something to Bob. I was. I'm not organized here today. Have we figured that part out yet?
I hope you're not relying on us to be.
I don't know why. Because like this, we were ready to go 3 hours ago. Really. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's been some other news.
Somehow we've backtracked.
In. Yeah. Somehow, I don't understand. Like we were actually ready way early. Usually, I say you're never done preparing. You just run out of time. It's just time to start. That wasn't the case. We were ready to go a while ago, and we're fumbling it around. Let's start with Brett Veach. Let's get things rolling. Brett Veach, talking today. Do you have it, Jed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, most people would give a got it, a fist bump, a thumbs up. Hey. Ready.
Can you know. Confirm.
Yeah, something so I know. Message has been received.
A poorly thought out, rambling combination of topics.
Well, maybe like some people would have sent the, you know, cuts they wanted to their producer and not to a man named Bob.
I did then, after I sent
I know,
to Bob,
let's
I
get
sent
going, let's get going. I'm just having fun.
Bob's going to go fourth and eight?
The news today, even though ESPN didn't pick up on it, I can tell you the media did, was about Eric Fisher. You just heard SportsCenter talking about Patrick Mahomes being ready in about 3 months. Let's get the medicals. That, I think, was maybe the biggest news that we got from Brett Veach today. Asked about the timeline for Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Fisher.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at my medical notes here. So Pat had his toe surgery on 2/10. You know, talking to Rick late last week, it's a 3 month recovery. So we're hopeful, you know, somewhere around that mandatory mini camp, if we have, you know, we certainly think by training camp, he'll be good to go and we'll be smart with him. Mitch just recently had his disc worked on and we're hopeful for him to return to training camp and the same thing with Fish. So we're hopeful both these guys will, you know, complete the rehab and be available for training camp and to start the 2021 season. I would probably say Pat's ahead of them just because of the, you know, that type of injury and probably a quicker recovery, but hopefully have all three ready to go by training camp.
Okay. All three ready to go by training camp. That's not surprising on Patrick Mahomes. Kind of surprising on Mitchell Schwartz, but we didn't really have any, you know,
at least Schwartz of what kind the injury of was. Said he, after a surgery, he thought he'd be ready to go. There at least was something public right. by somebody related to him saying he'd be ready.
Yeah, and we didn't know what the injury was, right. So we didn't, you know, like, oh, my God, he's going to be in traction for months, right. right? But Eric Fisher, most people had thought, hey, we'll be lucky to see this guy, like, next December, so much so that a little bit later on, the question came back up, Sam Mellinger, basically said, hey, I want to clarify something that was said earlier. He asked Brett Veach, basically, you know, does he feel that Fisher could actually play in the season opener?
Yeah, I think I'm looking at my notes right here. Achilles surgery, 129, you know, based on Rick and his medical staff, he projects a mid-August return. So now listen, how that works, you know, everything is different and everyone recovers differently. So you know, I think with that injury and, you know, with the time leading up for the season, you know, Rick has here a mid-August return. And you know how that works. That's all always, you know, to be determined until the player actually reports back to camp and goes through the offseason and see where he is. But I think that, you know, the mid-August timeline was put in front of my notes here. So, you know, I'll defer to Rick on that and trust his medical expertise.
Okay. 6.5 months.
Mm-hmm. By the way, 129 for anyone – pondering with that was the Friday after the game against Buffalo, the injury. I would assume that Brett Veach is going on more than just a set of notes that was put in front of him. What says here, he's good. I'm sure he's talked to Rick Burkholder more in depth than that says, but six,
maybe not quite as in depth as we might think. Right? Like, I think it's so early. Maybe that's like, hey, give me what the earliest possible time he can be ready.
Yeah.
You know, hey, give me the first possible date that they could be here.
Yep.
You know, who knows? I know it was said afterwards, the media, in fact, a number of folks asking the PR department. Hey, I just want to be clear. Are you sure on this date that he's given mid-August? Because that would be – Ron, I do have that right. That is 6.5 months, correct? It's like basically call it the end of January, January 29th.
That would be mid-August would be a little – yeah, 6.5.
February, March. Yep. Let's just do it all. Let's all do it together. February, March, April, May, June, July – yeah, August.
6 months mid-August. Would be so July 29th.
Six full months.
So, yeah.
Mid-August, six and a half months, correct?
Yep.
You know, most people I've heard were saying 9 to 11 months, 9 to 12 months. So, you know, I think most people were thinking, okay, hey, maybe he's ready in November, right, for the second half of the season. That'd be 9 months. Listen, I'll say this. Here's what I believe. I don't think there's any way the Chiefs are planning their offseason, meaning the free agency and the draft around Eric Fisher being a 100% lock to be ready to go in mid-August. By the way, mid-August is not ready for training camp.
No, that's about 3 to 4 weeks after that.
Yeah, mid-August would put you like maybe after the first preseason game, maybe going into the second preseason game. The season's starting these days about, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 of September? In that range, I think we got going on September 10th this past year, so maybe it's going to slide back to like the 4th or 5th or 6th. Maybe it's going to ease back wherever it's going to be when the schedule does come out. But I just want to be clear. That was the big news, and then that Mitchell Short should be ready for training camp. That's if everything goes well, right? How many people do you know that have had back surgery? How many of them have had just one? This is my point. I know that was a rosy picture that was painted by the general manager there. I'm not all in on rosy. Plan for the worst, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. And if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, I am planning on life without my two offensive tackles. And if they come back in time for training camp, fantastic. If they now, here's the problem, though. What are you going to do, go trade for a tackle and then draft one and then both these guys come back? I mean, okay, you can move, you know, somebody, two of them, to guard. But are you then going to not get a guard just in case they're all back? I mean, so this gets pretty tricky. And, you know, I'll say again, I remember talking to people in the Chiefs organization back when Andy Reid was a member of the Eagles and was going to conference championship games with the Eagles. And what they said to me at that time, Chiefs people were saying, and the football side of things were saying, listen, where we got to get to is where the Eagles and Steelers are. That is, they might cut bait on a guy a year too early, but they never cut bait on a guy a year too late. That was the description that was used to paint the picture of how Andy Reid did things with the Eagles. And I think that's where Andy Reid's got to be here now. Now, you can say that. Why would you say that? Well, number one, because, well, let's see how the medical goes. Like, it's so early for both of them. Who knows? There's the June 1 cut day. You know, they're going to have to get under the cap. They can get under the cap. If suddenly something comes open that you say in free agency, man, here's our dream scenario. We've got an offensive tackle that we can go get. Let's say, listen, let's take the top guy on the board, Trent Williams. Right, from the 49ers, previously a football team. You know, 32 years old, short-term answer, not a long-term solution. But let's say he's got interest in playing for the Chiefs. You reach out and say, listen, we're interested. What are the numbers you're looking for? And if he says, I want $30 million a year, you'd be like, more power to you, brother, and you move on down the road. If he says, listen, I really want to play for a winner. I think I'm worth 20. I'd take 15 to come play for you. But make it 4 years and guarantee three of it. Give me 45 guaranteed. By the way, Trent Williams is 32, so he's not getting any younger. But I think he's a guy that was still playing at a very high level last year. And if, you know, he comes in cheap, I don't know, 10, 12, I have no idea what the dollar figure would need to be to make it work. Then you say, okay, listen, we can get Trent Williams, and he's healthy right now. Let's go ahead and cut Eric Fisher. And Trent Williams' left tackle's his. Or maybe it's let's go ahead and walk on Mitchell Schwartz, right? If that's the case, then you know, okay, we've got two guys that can play left tackle. One of them's moving over to right. You know, if Fisher comes back, we move him over to right. You know, whatever the case may be. And we've got Lucas Niang, and we may be looking at taking a tackle because if Fisher is back, this is probably his last year with the team unless he looks really, really good. For me, it'd be the last year. The little bit of knowledge I have of Achilles tendons, if you want to wait it out and say, hey, we don't have a better option, and Rick Burkholder's right, you can be back in 6.5 months from this, you know, with the kind of training that's out there, okay, great, let's take a shot at it. But I think, you know, what needs to be kept in mind is they're not very far into this, so being able to predict how well it's going, who knows? Right? 3 months from now, they'll have a better idea. Now, I think free agency, a guy like Trent Williams, he's not going to be waiting around for 3 months. So if that, and by the way, I don't see any other offensive tackles that I would mess with. That doesn't mean that there isn't a guy that they think, hey, this guy's one problem is this. We can fix it and have a gem here cheap. Who knows where they might be thinking. But Trent Williams is the guy that I would really kick the tires on. To me, I see that as a Willie Rofe-like move. You know, this is a Willie Rofe game. Look up how old Willie Rofe was, Curtis.
I'm just doing singular mind.
Willie Rofe, I think, came at like age 31 or 2. And played at a really high level, and that's what I can see with Trent Williams. I mean, he is much more of a physical dominator than a tactician the way Eric Fisher has. Trent Williams, 32. Okay. So I would see it as a Willie Rofe-like move at left tackle. And that's the one guy that I would have interest in. And let me tell you something else. Andy Reid, I was talking about this with some folks, with Jason and Lebo. And, you know, Andy Reid's traded for offensive tackles before. Right? He went out and traded for Jason Peters. He's drafted offensive tackles. I don't think Andy Reid is going to go into this season saying, well, let's see what Martinez Rankin can do. Right? Yeah. You might see what Martinez Rankin can do at one side if you've got somebody locked down on the other side. So there's going to be some move either made, either a play in free agency or they're going to draft a tackle. Because I don't think even just Lucas Niang, who I think they have high hopes for, who, as I mentioned, a personnel guy for another team, told me, well, we're not messing with him because we're worried about his hip. But clearly the Chiefs weren't as worried about his hip, the injury he had at TCU. But we had him as the bottom of the first-round guy. So that's a talented guy, but I don't think you're going to come back with two question marks. So I think the Chiefs are going to address the offensive tackle position because I think, you know, well, let's hear nine, Jed. Give me nine. I think they're going to address the offensive tackle position because, one, they have to, and, two, I think there's a pretty good chance on draft day that there's going to be some talent there. This is Veach when he was asked what positions he thought had day two and day three depth.
You know, every year you're going to have numbers at receivers just because every team seems to have two or three of those guys. So there's certainly some depth at the wide receiver position. I would say the two positions, though, that really jump out at you would be the offensive line and the cornerback position. I think those are the two positions that kind of just, when you look at the board, they kind of just scream at you that there's depth there, you know, really rounds one through three, one through four. Now, they'll go quick. So even though there's numbers there, by the time you blink your eyes and you get into the middle or late round two, all those numbers that you saw, we joke about it every year. Like, wow, there's so many linemen. But when you pick 31, 32 every year, by the time you get to 231, they're all gone. I mean, that's just the way it works. But just from a sheer number standpoint, I think the offensive line is really deep. I think the cornerback position is deep. And I think the receiver position, you know, has some value in the middle and late rounds. Quarterback looks to be a pretty good class, but I can't anticipate in drafting a quarterback, so certainly early anyway. But to your question, O-line, corner, and receivers, I think look pretty good. Everywhere else is a little bit thinner. You know, some positions maybe more thin than in years past, so there'll be a little bit more work to do to see if you can build up the numbers and identify talent later on in the draft.
I think that's a pretty honest answer, don't you? Because he said offensive line. Well, we know they need offensive line. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but I don't. Because everywhere else I read, people like the offensive line depth across the board. Maybe center, not as much, but guard and tackle. A lot of guards, a lot of tackles being projected in the first round by folks. One of two things will happen. Either they'll start ripping off really fast, or everyone will be like, I don't need to take a tackle here in the first because I'm going to get a good one in the second, and they start to slide. But, corner does not seem to be a big need. Bashad Breeland leaves, but they've got a good group of young corners. And who knows, there wasn't a market for Bashad Breeland out there last year. So maybe he's back at about the same price, you know, as last year. But even so, with the emergence of Legarius Sneed, Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, you know, I don't think they have to go grab a corner. And by the way, they haven't taken a corner high since Marcus Peters. And so if it's a good corner class, then – you know, maybe they feel like they can get somebody later on. But I think offensive tackle, what I hear is a guy who's going to take him an offensive lineman, if not with the first pick, he's got at least the first two.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily, that decision is necessarily married to whether or not he gets one in a free agency. I could see a situation where, say, they do get someone like Williams and they feel good in that situation, or maybe in a trade, that they still don't go. If the value is there, don't go there in the first round.
Well, I like the idea last year of making a trade for Trent Williams when Eric Fisher was down. Now, it obviously worked out. They won a Super Bowl. Eric Fisher came back. They won all their games with Eric Fisher. And so the Chiefs played it well. Now they have a chance to get Trent Williams where they don't have to give up any draft picks. I like it even more because I think the left tackle spot's really important. So that would be my move. Now he's got to free up some cap room. You can do that. If it's Trent Williams you're signing, then I think you definitely cut bait on one of the two tackles.
Could you see a spot where they go after Williams in free agency and still take someone at 31 if someone they really like falls that far?
I think you do, because I think they want, you know, they had Eric Fisher and they signed Mitchell Schwartz.
Yep.
And I think you want two guys, and I think you want three guys for two spots. And, you know, whoever doesn't win the tackle spots plays one of the guards. And then when if a tackle goes down, the guard kicks out. I think that's where Andy Reid liked to be. I think all of his guards are basically tackles. You know, when plan A is working, when he's not just trying to fill holes that he wasn't planning on. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is a tackle.
Right.
Okay, that plays guard.
Yep.
Andrew Wiley is a tackle. That plays guard. I mean, they are tackle-sized guys, and I think that's what Andy Reid wants there. So, yeah, I what I hear is somebody that will look around at free agency. For me, you know, not to put words in anyone's mouth, certainly, but my view is it's Trent Williams or bust. Otherwise, you're better off just going with Nyang, crossing your fingers on the rehabs, and drafting another guy. But if you can get Trent Williams, if you can make that work, then that's my big ticket free agent signing, because I'm going to protect Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to let Patrick Mahomes know we're always going to have your backside. You know, your blind side is covered when you play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Whatever it takes, it's priority number one, because I don't need a pissed off Patrick Mahomes. I don't need Russell Wilson. I don't need Deshaun Watson happening in Kansas City. Priority number one, and it's priority number one. It doesn't mean it'll be successful. But priority number one is to upgrade the offensive tackle. And I think one of the reasons why you'd like to get Trent Williams, if you could, if you can fit it, and I think to fit it, you'd have to cut both of the tackles you have. But if you get Trent Williams and you know you've got that done, you don't necessarily have to take an offensive tackle in the first round. You know, I think right now where they sit, I think it's always a dangerous spot, is they have to take an offensive tackle in the first two rounds. And probably based upon what Brett Beach just said right there, well, you always think there's a lot of guys, but when you're picking 231, meaning round two, pick number 31, they all come off the board. And I think it also kind of speaks to how in round two they think they're getting the same quality that they're getting in round one if you're up in the upper half. It depends upon the draft. But I don't think they want to take a corner. I think they'll be thrilled to see all five quarterbacks go, because that's a position they don't want to draft. I think they'll be thrilled to see a ton of cornerbacks go, and they'll be rooting for the tackles to drop. And I think one of the reasons why you'd like to get Trent Williams, or if there's another offensive tackle that you love in free agency, is so that you don't have to take a tackle in the first round. I think if you don't get Trent Williams, you have to take a first-round tackle, or with your first pick. And maybe you get lucky and only three or four of them go, and there's still three or four you like, and you pull a Chris Jones-like trade where you trade out of the bottom of the first round to the fifth, sixth, seventh pick of the second round, and you're comfortable you're still going to get one of these top guys, one of your tier one tackles. Maybe that happens and you get some additional picks. But what I fear more is if you don't get a Trent Williams, if you don't get a free agent, the Chiefs are going to pick up, by most accounts, a fourth and a fifth round pick for compensation with last year's free agent losses. So with a fourth and a fifth, two fourths, two fifths, I see a guy who's rip-roaring ready to move a third or a second to get up higher in the first round and get a better tackle. And I won't hate it. It wouldn't be my choice. It's not ideal math, but it's very Brett Veachy, and it protects Patrick Mahomes, and so I ain't ever going to bitch about protecting Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So if he's got a guy and he goes, okay, I'm going to move my third, I'm going to move my second because I got these extra picks for depth down later and we do pretty good down there, I'll find me a L'Jarius Sneed. I'll find me a Travis Kelce type. Kelce was a third, I think a high third at that, so he's more like a second, so that doesn't really apply. But I'll find me some value down there. But I'm going to go up and get the tackle we got to have to make sure that we protect Patrick Mahomes. I know this guy is a 10-year left tackle in the NFL. I'm going to go get him. I won't hate on that, because I think it's the biggest thing that the Chiefs have to get done is fixing the left tackle spot. And again, it could get done. It could be that you draft a guy and he goes and plays right tackle and Mitchell Schwartz is done. He retires, or you cut him, do the injury settlement, and you know, you draft a guy, he goes to right tackle, Lucas Nyang starts at guard, and Eric Fisher comes back in mid-August as Rick Burkholder's best-case scenario, what I'm going to call Rick Burkholder's best-case scenario, happens, then great. The offensive line went from a tremendous weakness in the Super Bowl to a great strength going into the season, and I don't think anybody will complain about that. 913-3-810-810, let's take a break. I want to get into Hunter Dozier's contract. I want to talk KU, big win over Baylor. or at least what's left of Baylor. Yes, Kansas fans, I'm not running down your victory. It's still a big win. But let's talk about whether or not Baylor is ever going to be this year the team that they were. 913-3810-810. Phone lines are open. Grab a line right now. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yes, I like bacon on whatever because bacon is pure. It is bacon. It is wonderful. Everybody likes bacon.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Thank you for joining us. 913-3810-810 if you want to join the conversation. A lot to get to here in the program. I want to talk about Hunter Dozier's deal getting done with the Kansas City Royals as well. 913-3810-810. We open, though, with Brett Veach and his comments kind of laying out the offseason. He mentioned offensive line a number of times. That's clearly, I think it goes without saying. I don't think he gave away any trade secrets there. The fact that they are going to need to address the offensive line. Talked about the strengths in the draft. Talked about the rehab time for some of the players. So just kind of setting the ground, setting the market, setting the agenda for what they are going to be looking at in this offseason. 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. 6 and 8. You're in the program, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
The reason I called Soren is because you took the words right out of my mouth with Trent Williams. We need to get him, I mean, to me at all costs. And, well, I mean, not 30 minutes, not if it's an exorbitant number, but get him and then, then go from there. But what my concern is, though, with them is, say both tackles were perfectly healthy. I think their number one and two needs are pass rusher and number two receiver. And to me, there's a lot of pass rushers in this draft, and there's a lot of receivers in this draft. And so I mean, and one more thing is,
Go ahead.
No, one more thing I think that your best player on the defensive line is Chris Jones. And I think when they were in the 3-4, he had 15 and a half sacks. I think because he's protected by the 5 technique and the nose guard. So he's one-on-one. Now he's getting double-teamed every play. I think you do what's best for your best player and adjust to him, get him another pass rusher. When he had Houston and the nose guard, he couldn't be stopped because he was singled up every time. And that's it. That's all I want to say.
All right, I appreciate it, 6 and 8, and good stuff. I'm with you. Trent Williams is my number one priority in free agency. If I can get it done for the right price, I'll have the price in mind, what we can do to get there. The Chiefs are 25, maybe call it 30 million over the cap when you, depending upon where that cap's going to come down, when you add in their draft, which most numbers that you see right now aren't taking into account that they've got a draft to pay as well. They got about $40 million by my count in roster bonuses that can be converted to signing bonuses and prorated out so they can get down to maybe, 5 or 10 million below. Then you got to start cutting guys. And there's about 18 million minus whatever the injury settlement would be if you cut both tackles. Let's call it 5 million in injury settlements, 3 million, 4 million, something like that. So let's say you can clear another 13 million. And then you can backload a Trent Williams deal, knowing that you're going to get hit at some point. Listen, there is another plan, which is don't sign anybody. And use this year as kind of a mulligan. Hope that Lucas Niang, can play left tackle. A lot of people projected that he could. Hope that he can play left tackle and that, or certainly right tackle, and that one of the two come back and get your cap right for the future. Or just draft a tackle. Don't sign anybody and just draft another tackle and plan on Yang and the other one. You're gonna have two young, highly thought of offensive tackles that you're going to make your bookends, and you go to war with that. And then you start getting your cap right for the long haul. I do think, one of the things, and give me, Curtis, what number was mine?
Give me seven. Seven.
Seven, yeah. Give me seven. This is Brett Veach, who I said, look, I get it when you haven't been to a Super Bowl for 50 years. That you're all in, doing everything you can to get there and win it. And when you've won it, everyone's there, but is there a time now that you've got some equity built up, that it might be time to shift gears to a more long-term approach?
Yeah, no, I certainly think that, you feel good about, and I've said this before, you have the head coach and you have the quarterback, and now it's a matter of, I think to your point, you're when you're so close and maybe entering that, I guess, 19 season when, hadn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years, and then we have a terrific season and we fell short, and that mindset is, you're going all in because you know how hard it is to do it and to get there. And then you get there and then you win it, and then you're able to retain most of those players and get back there again. I think if you live by that mantra that sooner or later it's going to, like you said, just blow up. So I think being more strategic and just being smart in our decisions, like I said, I don't think, we're going to go out there and try to reinvent the wheel, and we're going to be smart and build for the long haul. And that certainly addresses the offensive defensive line. And again, it goes back to football 101, and that's what we'll do. We'll invest in the offense and defensive lines, and, we'll fill in the skill as we go along. So, I do think that, once you get the things that that you have to have in place, then I think you can be more patient and let the market and free agency come to you and let the draft come to you and kind of operate in that approach.
I think when your cap's in shape, you can. Right. I don't know when you got a cap issue like the Chiefs now do. And by the way, no ill will, no anger, no frustration towards having a cap issue. They have a cap issue because they went to two Super Bowls and won one. And they did whatever it took to get there. So this I got no problem with it. They went all in to win a championship over about a 3-year period with Patrick Mahomes. This year maybe even being the fourth year, the years 2, 3, 4, and 5 on his rookie deal, and they've already got one. And so they're playing with house money on this final year. And if this final year ends up being a correction year to get the cap in shape to now play the long game around a massive Patrick Mahomes contract, I'm okay with that. And the new TV deal is going to come online in probably 2022 or 2023. ESPN money will start kicking in next year. Hopefully, the pandemic is over. People do the things they need to do to where they can pack the stadiums again, get all the revenue. All the advertising that comes from having a packed stadium, because I guarantee you, you're not paying as much for in-stadium advertising if you've only got 12,000 people in there as opposed to 72,000.
Right. That's
so all those revenues that were lost, you get those back, and you get a big jump in the cap next year, and that helps alleviate a lot of their problems. So, I do think that Brett Veach is aware of the long game, and I think that's where they want to get to. But it's going to take some sacrifices somewhere. Either this year or perhaps next year, the year after, next year and the year after. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Jim. You're in the program. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, Seren. Thanks for taking my call. I love the analysis, love the discussion. I think a little bit of what I'm going to say is obvious, but some of what they do is going to depend on an unknown that we'll never truly know. If they really believe in the kid from TCU, is it pronounced Yang?
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it.
If they have evaluated him and they really believe that he can be a starter, they might stick with the status quo, hope one of the two injured guys can fill the other side. And we'll never know what their honest to goodness, gut evaluation of Tank is. What do you think of him? I mean, I know you've broken it down, but do you think he can handle one of the starting tackle positions next year? If he needs to, and I'll listen off the air, Seren. Have a good day.
Okay, I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you very much. I do. I have a little bit of concern because the conversations that I've had about him with people outside of the Chiefs organization are, one, that the hip is a chronic injury. And look, teams go about the injury thing differently. They have these grades, don't touch. Some teams use numbers. You have an injury scale that are numbers. Some teams use colors. As to what they are. And so, like, red is like, oh, God, no, he's off the board. We're not drafting him. To orange, to yellow, right, to white. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But, I know for this team, like, they weren't going to draft him. Now, they were a team that I would say had put a lot into the offensive line of late, and I think it made it easier for them to take him off their board, right? Because it wasn't really a big need. And I think teams, you know, I think it's human nature that if you've got an injury guy and it's like, well, do we take him off or not? If it's a position of need, you're going to leave him on the board because you're going to go, well, hell, if all the other guys at that spot go, well, then I'm willing to take a risk on that injury. So I think it's just human nature. And let me be clear, you know, guys can go up there. It's like, well, you know, we think he's going to play for 2 to 5 years. Well, for one team, if he's going to, you know, if you're the Chiefs and you're and why they drafted him was they were coming off a Super Bowl and saying, we're all in, and this is a need. I think they took him in the third round. Like, I think the Chiefs might have been very willing to walk on by, but they went, you know, we're going to need a tackle in a year, right? And maybe he can step in and play some guard for us and even be the swing tackle, but we're going to need, you know, Fisher and, you know, hopefully we get a great year out of Fisher or we get a great year out of Schwartz, but they're both in the final year of their deal. So, you know, I think they said, okay, this is a need and there's good value here. Because the thing that was said to me, I said, well, what about his ability? They said, well, we think he's a bottom of the first round tackle. And they got him in the third. I said, okay. They said, yeah, he can definitely play. He can definitely play. So to answer your question, Jim, if the hip has not become a problem, they called it a chronic injury, and they were worried that it was going to be something that would end his career prematurely. Now, I said, well, when's premature? Like, he'll never get on the field? They're like, no, he'll get on the field and he'll play with it. But I also heard that maybe he wasn't the most popular guy with the TCU coaching staff. I think Andy Reid does a really good job of reaching those guys, so I don't have a whole lot of fear about that. But can he play? Yes. Can he play for 10 years? I doubt it.
Can he play for half that?
Yeah, sure. Can he play for 5 years? Could you get to a second contract and say, nah, we're going to pass and have somebody else go invest a bunch of money in him, get a good draft pick for him on the other side? Like, that would be my ideal situation. He plays, you know, for 3 years as a starter, and maybe you even slap a franchise tag on him for 1 year, and then you let him go in free agency, and you get draft pick compensation for him. You know, you like, listen, if we can get one contract out of this guy for a third, if we get first-round tackle play for 3 years, or I'm sorry, 4 years, because last year doesn't count because he sat out for COVID, so they've still got all 4 years of that third-round deal. So if you get first-round play from an offensive tackle for 4 years, watch him walk and then get, you know, a third or fourth-round pick for him going out the door.
It's a damn good third-round pick.
I'm in!
Hell yes. You're not the only person in that line.
So I see what they're doing. And listen, there are teams, you know, one team will have a guy on their medical side where they take him off. Another team will still have him on there. I mean, there are guys that go in the first or second round that other teams have as don't drafts. It's just like, what are your medical people say and how much are you willing to risk it? I could tell you the Chiefs were never going to draft. Who was the linebacker from Notre Dame that the Cowboys got that had the nerve damage in his leg?
Wilson or J. Not Jalen Wilson. Jalen something like that. Jalen something.
Yeah, Jalen Wilson. I think that's right. Anyway, the Chiefs and most of the NFL Jalen Smith. Most of the NFL wasn't going to take him. And I think the Cowboys took him in the second or third round.
Second round.
Yeah, second round. And he was not going to get drafted.
Round.
He was not going to get drafted anywhere by most teams.
Yeah, 34 overall.
You know, so can Lucas – do I think Lucas Niang will play? I think if he comes back, and by all accounts, you know, I assume LDT – I mean, I think he could retire and just go be a doctor. But if LDT's back, that gives him depth at the guard position. That gets easier. I assume Niang is going to be back. I'm assuming the pandemic is going to be much better come this summer, that we're going to get the new shots. And, yeah, there'll be every reason to believe that he'll be back. If his hip has not deteriorated – absolutely. I believe you've got a starting NFL tackle. I lean more towards definitively him being a starting right tackle, but a good starting right tackle can play left tackle. You know, I if you went at it with Trent Williams and Lucas Niang, I'd feel real good. I feel real good about those two. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. News breaking yesterday. Hunter Dozier, 4 years, $25 million, fifth year option for $10 million for Hunter Dozier. He was scheduled to make $6.25 million in his first year of arbitration eligibility this year. $6.25 million times four is how much?
25.
Why did Hunter Dozier sign this deal? Here's what I'm getting at. Like, I think he undersold himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I almost feel like, why would Hunter Dozier sign this deal? And if Hunter Dozier would sign this deal, why do we want him?
He didn't have any more confidence in his stats than that?
Listen, Dayton Moore trusts his scouting eye, and he thinks Hunter Dozier's going to hit. He's going to bounce back to what he was 2 years ago. And trust me, it's 2 years ago's performance that's largely the reason for $6.25 million. Last year, we know he battled COVID. That's got to be a unique one in an arbitration case. Of course, Dayton Moore never goes to arbitration, just one guy has he ever gone to arbitration with. You know, it always gets settled beforehand. But, you know, $6.25 million is based upon the .850 OPS he put up 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come back and you just have kind of like an average Hunter Dozier season, so not quite as good as 2 years ago, but you know, like you'd be like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, let's say Hunter Dozier, keep in mind the ball, they're taking some juice out of the ball. He hit, what, 26 or 7 home runs
26.
A couple years ago?
26.
26 home runs a couple of years ago. So if he comes out, let's say he hits 21 homers, 20 homers, he hits, you know, the doubles go up. So what did he have, like 20?
29.
He almost had. All right, so let's make it 35 doubles. Let's make it 20 homers, 35 doubles. I don't think he's going to hit 10 triples. Let's make it 40 doubles and 4 triples. And so he comes out and he has just a little bit less of a year, a little less on base, a little bit less slug. He comes in at .805. He's going to get like $9, $10 million in arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
Then if he does that season again, he's going to get like $12 or $14 million in arbitration. So by my count, he was due for $20 million over the next 2 years in arbitration if he has confidence that he's going to play at a much more 19 level. So why give 2 more years for $5 million to the organization?
Excellent question.
It has me wondering, like, does he still not feel good from the COVID? I mean, I've heard of people that are, you know, there was a guy in my basketball league who had it early on when we did our basketball draft. It had been, what, when basketball season was like November? So yeah. He had it back in March. He's like, he still didn't feel right.
Yeah. He said today, we'll have a longer form clip of it. He talked about just not really liking the business side of the game and just kind of wanting to be able to concentrate more on baseball and not the money. But damn, that's a lot of concentrating on baseball, man.
I mean, like, to me, at the very least, he was going to get six and a quarter
right
over the next couple of years in arbitration. Exactly. Then get to free agency. He just gave away 2 years. Now, granted, if he gets into a car crash or he gets sick or he forgets how to hit or his vision gets shot, he gets no money. Right, if he can't play. So, I mean, this is money in the bank, but he took the safe route, that's for sure.
Yep.
The safest route possible.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, how many Royals have had a 25 double, 10 triple, 25 homer season? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.